Hi, I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist podcast.
We are two animists and spiritual practitioners exploring the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Each week we share our experiences and dive deep into everything in life, from philosophy, metaphysics, Abia, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, pop culture, conspiracies, psychedelics and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile and authoritarian world.
We keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us holding this space to laugh, cry, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
Welcome, 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 beautiful, beautiful beings of the multiverse to the Afro-Animist podcast. I forgot where we were right there for a moment. Did I say multiverse? Where are we? Is time and space real? You decide.
Oops. Not these days. I'm not doing it now. No.
Today.
Well, it's real. It's just our perception of it is the unreal part.
Exactly. Yeah.
Today, you are here with me, Love.
And me, Nicola. And our wonderful guest, Clara.
Hi.
Who is our Glastonbury Super Witch Pro.
Yes.
So a few months ago, Jay and I was able to take a really cool excursion to Glastonbury town. We're not talking about the festival, guys. It's not even in Glastonbury. We're talking about town, the Glastonbury town, where witches and fairies roam free, and like 20 merlins
and dragons and unicorns.
Dragons and unicorns. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. So it was actually a really beautiful trip. It was a few months ago now.
Yeah,
definitely gonna have to go back there, I think, soon, Jay.
Certainly.
Fuck, this is gonna keep happening.
It's gonna keep happening. Don't worry. It's love. Hi, my name is Love. You'll get on board with the Impossible rebrand sometime soon. But yes, I did go to Glastonbury as Jay. So
you did go to Glastonbury as Jay.
Amazing. And you know what? I've heard about this place for ages and ages from Nicola, who has just said it's the most magical place and it's exactly your type of place. I thought, oh, that sounds really nice. Yeah, I'm sure it's really, really good. Yeah, it sounds lovely. And then I got there and it's like, whoa, no. She explained it perfectly. It's exactly my type of place. Just the energy when you go there, just how it feels on the high street. It's just all of the things that you can see and do. I found it absolutely magical. And I'd advise absolutely anyone to take a trip there to Glastonbury town, not the festival. They are two different places because it's just such a magical experience.
Guys, Jay was there for like about 7.5 minutes before she had write me about on her phone. She was like, okay, so how much is rent? Could I buy a property? What's the land saying? And I was like, Jay,
it's Somerset.
Just have a few days. I mean, but to be honest, it is, I love that part of the world, like although that part of England, like for me, the south and the west of England is just like, it's where all the magic is.
As a native from the West Country, I've always been told that west is best.
West is best. I mean, apart from if you're in London, then south is best. West London don't count. You know that.
Yeah, West Coast.
West Coast.
West Coast is really and truly beautiful, and you do just get this. I know the whole of the UK is this very old land, and you do get that sense of it, but you really get that sense of it when you're in that part of the country. Just the land you're standing on just feels like a lot more magic and mystery has happened there, and it does have a really rich history. And you know, we're so used to hearing about the histories around London, around like the royal families, ancestors. We hear all of that sort of story, but we don't really hear as much that sort of stories of the lands and, you know, the druids and the magic keepers that kept those places, unless we're talking about them being hung in witch trials, which is a real shame because there is just so much more to understand and learn about. And it helps to form this cultural awareness of the land that we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, that was so beautiful. I could I'm here for the lecture. Like, tell me more.
That's all I got. You
Okay,
can
all
start
right.
talking about
Maybe.
the Kardashians
Okay, fine. So anyway, last season. No. I've given up on the Kardashians. They are actually like I can't view them in the same way I used to. Like where I was making the excuses. Like I
What?
actually can't. Well, because the new
Okay.
series, babe, I like I did okay, I did it. I got a
Okay.
Disney subscription so that I
I
could
did
watch the new
watch
season
it.
of Kardashians. And it was actually like a bit sickening. Like I'm totally like there's a level that you can get to. And we can pretend that these famous people are like the same as us, right? And there are many ways we can pretend
Yeah.
that. But then they reach a certain level where they are just it's just the disconnect is too massive. Like you can't be
Does it
pretending
become a
like
bit Hunger Games?
it is a bit Hunger Games, and it's just like they're going in there like, oh my God, it's just like, yeah, we've worked really hard for all of our money, but our lives are just so challenging. We're just like normal people. I'm like, we're not fucking normal. You are not normal, bitch. How many rooms do you have in your house?
What are your problems?
What
Because
are
they're
your
probably very
problems?
different to my
What are your
problems.
problems? Your accountant didn't save you
I
enough tax? Like, what the fuck are your problems? Oh no,
mean,
they do have some issues, but
well, you're healing from plastic surgery,
yeah.
having to deal with a personal trainer and a dietitian every
Do you
day. It
know what I
must be
mean?
really hard.
Fuck, it's so hard to have a
Yeah.
chef. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Look,
I
and I
need those
can,
problems in my life.
do you know what I mean? Anywho's, back to actual reality and not, mind control. But we'll
The
go there.
magical, we'll go there. No,
Shit.
the magical reality of Glastonbury and Clara, you live there. You get to live in this magical place. What dream, what brought you there?
The water was what really brought me there. Like for the last few years, like some of the streams that I've been paying attention to, like they were mentioning the kind of lockdown scenario. It wasn't exactly like that and it wasn't so defined, but like I had this feeling that I needed to be grounded and stable somewhere safe where I could walk to water. Because
Yes.
personally, I don't drink tap water as a drink. Like it just doesn't go in. I find it doesn't really hydrate me. Like I cook with it because of needs and things like that. But I wanted to be somewhere with living water. So it was the water that drew me there.
Living water. So I really like this concept because we talk about this a lot on the podcast. Can you tell us a little more about what like living water means to you?
I have always had like a real fascination with the elements. Like from really, really young, that's always been something that I just have organized my life around. And like, when I was young, it wasn't so much a conscious thing. And now that I'm older, like it's really part of my direction. And my first element is water. So I've always loved water. And then like when you start to study water and you learn how much energy it has and how much like water is carrying life. Like without water we wouldn't have any of this
Right.
gooey fleshy bodies or anything like that. We wouldn't have all this lush environment that we could enjoy. It would just be barren rock. And water can lose its personality, or a lot of its powerful energetic healing, like just traveling through a pipe, because it's going to affect it. And it's like water has a memory, so it will have a memory of that pipe and everything that it's passed through. And also like like now we live in like so many big cities, like our water is treated with like various things, and then it becomes there's ingredients in the water, and it's like I don't want to have that soup. I'd rather just have the pure stuff as it comes out of the ground. And like the Glastonbury water especially is like very powerfully mineral, so I mean even with that there are flavors in there, like there's the red and the white springs that are the most famous ones, and they have very distinctly different flavors. And yeah, like just living my life next to living water, it just helps me feel more alive and more energized and like more switched on. Like I find that when I don't have access to that, like parts of me just start to close off or shut down, and I just become a bit more dull as a person.
I completely get that. You're living in London, all we have is like your government juice or spring water sold in a plastic bottle. And when I went to Glastonbury and I went to both the red and the white spring and took a little from both. So the red spring is iron rich, that's correct, right? And it's known as the masculine spring, and the white
Red is the
spring, it
feminine. Oh, the red is the
red
feminine.
is the feminine. Red is the feminine, and white is the calcium rich spring. That's That's correct. And that's the masculine one.
But it's in the, but the White Spring comes through the Bridget Temple.
It is a Bridget Temple now. Like, the special thing is that it's two very distinct waters
Yeah.
that rise to the surface in the same place. And there's
Yeah.
only a, one other place in the world that I've been to that has that. And I've heard it's quite rare to have the red and the white flowing. And like, so energetically, if we're talking about the masculine and the feminine, like the red is like the menstrual blood and the white is the sperm and the semen. And obviously, this is not what you're actually drinking.
I
So,
was going to say, the minute we're in
no.
Bury, you're drinking that white
Unlike
water.
London
Ooh.
water, which is completely filtered with all of the crummy tissues that go down
Oh,
the
yes, that's
drains.
true.
Oh.
They used to rise and they used to flow together and mingle.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And then these days there's a road between them. So, you know, that just says a lot.
Gosh, I literally
Right.
just
Right
to
there.
imagine that. Like, can you imagine? Okay, so that road.
Spiral. Yeah.
I wonder
Yeah.
what that looked like before.
I know.
I'd love to see like a picture. Someone has a
Right at the
picture.
middle of the
Yeah,
tour as
right at the
well.
top of the
There's that
tour.
pooling of the masculine and the feminine. Okay,
Yeah,
so
of
I feel like we
course.
need to explain a little bit about Glastonbury, about what it is, and then I want to move on to actually like more about what Clara is.
Right.
So obviously we're talking about these springs,
Yeah.
and we've mentioned the tour, and I just feel like people won't necessarily know what those things are.
Right.
So Glastonbury is essentially, I mean, whenever I go to Glastonbury, all I think about is the tour of someone, obviously High Street, because they have loads of crystals and stuff there. But
Yeah.
the tour is always where I will end up. Would you, are you able to explain to us a little bit about the tour and what it is?
Yeah, a little bit. So like Glastonbury is also really often referred to as Avalon. And in ancient times it was known as the Isle of Avalon because all around it it's like there's a lot of flat land that used to be an inland sea. And people used to get around on by boats and by bridges, and then there's these little mounds, like these hills basically, but like stand up from the levels is what the inland sea is called because it's that flat. And then the Tor is one of these mounds that rises up out of the inland sea. And so it's a super energetic place. Like there, it used to be an ancient mystery school surrounded by mist, because like the waters would just create all of that humidity. And like still, really often we get the mists of Avalon, which like breathes in and breathes out, and like they're always very atmospheric. And the Tor was an island in these mists, and it's one of the tallest ones. So they used to climb to do ceremonies on there. It's a particular shape, and a lot of people believe that there's the path of the labyrinth that you can walk around, and it takes around 3 hours just to walk. Like instead of going straight up and straight down, you spend a lot of time walking around the edges, and then you get to the center of the labyrinth, which could either be one of the sacred stones, which is on the tour, and the tour doesn't have many stones, so the ones that are there, like the big ones that have been there for a while. Some people say the dragon egg is the center of the labyrinth, and then that's the center of the heart chakra of the world, and then also the Sacred Heart of England. So it's like it's a really potent energetic space to be. It's a nice place to go meditate. And then some people call it a dragon egg, and that sometimes they say that there's a tunnel behind the dragon egg and you can go into it, and like it's basically just a hill, but it's also a very liminal space. And like I love climbing hills. Like I find it's a really nice way to like regulate myself and balance myself, and I like the opportunity to like to get to a point where there's a very clear before and after. And I find the top of the hill offers that really nicely. So it's a good therapist if you're looking for somewhere to like burn some energy and get some clear thoughts. Yeah,
Definitely.
and a good perspective.
Clara took us up the tour, and everything you said there, balancing, perspective. Tor is old English for hill. I've got that right, haven't I? Yeah. TOR. And it really is just this magical place of balance. And when you said, oh, it's the heart chakra of, you know, of the world, and I got that feeling there. I did just feel like my heart was just like bursting open and ready to receive. Especially going up that hill, it gets your heart going, and then you get to that
Definitely.
beautiful view, and you can see everything, and it's you just feel so like overjoyed and overwhelmed with that joy in like the best way possible. And it's not the same as like, is it Snowdon in Wales? That's the one, right? So I've been up there, and it's beautiful. I'm not taking away from that. It was definitely like hiking up a mountain and like, oh, it gets your heart going. But it just wasn't, it didn't feel the same kind of magic. It was different. Going up the tour felt really heart opening.
Well, it's so it's just so beautiful, actually, because we obviously went to like you said, you went to Glastonbury as Jane, and you've received your name as Love, and we're talking about this is the first trip we were able to take together as mates, as the Afro Animist like podcast, and we went to the center of love, the heart center of the planet. And you literally just, and it's one of those things where I'm just a bit of a miserable bitch. So I'm just like, oh, why do you want to live here for? I can do like 3 or 4 days in Glastonbury, that's it. And Jay's like, I will need to move here. And it makes complete and utter sense. It's just making more and more sense as time goes on, actually.
It why is that place. A very different experience living there.
Living there, 100%.
Yeah, like it being the heart chakra of the world, there's also a lot of darkness there. Yes. So like, you know, you can take the high road to the heavens or the low road to the underworld and,
But then maybe Jay is the light and I'm the dark. I don't know.
I mean, it's a roller coaster and like we're all just up and down anyway. Like, you know, sometimes Glastonbury pumps out a load of bliss. And then sometimes, you know, like, there's stuff that gets like stuck and churny inside the heart and it takes a while to process. And
I've always had the experience there of like challenge. Like, so apart from like the couple of times that I've just come to visit you. Whenever I've gone to Glastonbury, I've gone to do stuff. And those things have always felt very pilgrimagey. And there's always been challenge, like from like the weather just being insane, stopping me from getting there, to like just, you know, just the people and the energy and what's flowing there and what's, you know, it's definitely a place that I go to without, like, I don't go there for holidays. Okay, I go there for experience.
You go for there for a purpose. Yeah.
Go there for a
transformation.
Purpose. A transformation, exactly. Like, you know, so I'd love to talk about a bit about the White Spring, but also about Avalon as Mary Magdalene's place. Because this is something when I first started going to Avalon or to Glastonbury that was very much in my head as it being the heart chakra of the world, but also there's an idea that, and we've spoken about this actually before in the podcast when we were doing if you go back, dear listener, and listen to our episode that is about womb magic, sex magic, then I actually spoke a lot about this on that episode, because there was this work that I was doing that was all centered around Mary Magdalene and Jesus and their practices and whatever practices he did to create a secure and stable astral body so that he could resurrect. And this is a theory, and part of that theory is that she left and came here. So she came to Avalon. She went to Avalon. She went to the heart center of the world, and she was the chalice, and she had her babies. And so Jesus' descendants running around in Glastonbury. And so, but I love this. There's something that, like, you know, because we've always had this question about that. And Glastonbury actually has a really deep Christian association, but a mystical, like the mystical Christians, the monks going there to actually study mysticism. You know, and that's something I can really feel, and I feel like for me that's also part of the darkness that I feel when I'm there, or part of that. It's like I can feel the magical history of all the mixings and things that have happened. And when you are in a place of such transformation, like you say, the light and the dark is there, and all those experiences that are there, and millions of people over time have gone there to literally do the same things that we're going there to do. So the holding, like, just if you take away everything else, if you go, okay, well, I don't believe in, you know, the world having chakras, and I don't believe in all that other shit, like if you just recognize the actual literal history of people constantly pilgrimaging there for like a couple of thousand years and doing work.
Longer than that, I imagine.
Yeah. In our modern, you know, Christian history, a couple of thousand years, but we know for longer. Boudicca definitely won't. so I just find it really, really interesting, because there are places that you can go and you don't have to have any, like, you don't have to be like, I'm connected, I'm psychic, I'm spiritual, anything like that. But you go there and you feel the energy, because so much has actually happened there. So much has been done there. And Glastonbury's definitely one of those places. I love to go and sit on the tour, and it's also one of those places you always go and you will have an adventure, and you probably meet like a whole new group of friends, and you'll do something mad, and it will be life-changing. So everyone get on a bus to, also you can get a fucking mega bus there for £5.
Really?
I think so. Oh no, mega bus to Bristol, but you can get National Express. I've done National Express for £7.
Yeah.
Including booking fee. So £5.
Couple more.
And then it's an hour and a half from Bristol. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. Is it? If you're going to do the double bus, it isn't.
If we're going to do bus advertising, Berries run from Glastonbury to London.
Berries, that's it. Berries, come and sponsor us. Hi, guys. all right, my darling. So I would love to talk to you. We're going to talk about Jay jumping in the spring in a second. Like, so don't feel like you better remember that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a mess.
When love was Jay, she jumped in the spring. So I would love to talk about who you are. Okay, so what would you say? This is very hard. Labels are difficult for us, but how would you describe what you do and who you are? You said it really beautifully outside. So
what's your magic, Clara? What's your magic?
I have quite a lot of well-developed magic, actually, and quite a few different abilities in how I can do, like, most simply, I'm a witch. That was the thing that I knew about myself. I think the first thing I knew about myself when I was a young girl, but it was like something that was like, I was told it wasn't real. And I was like, okay, but all of these books that I'm reading, and like, I loved all the witchy books, everything about it. And I was like, but this is the one that describes me the most. So how come it's not real? That kind of thing. But anyway, I have progressed and matured, and it has become a very real thing in my life. So what was the next question?
So tell us, like, okay, start with what you do, because I think that's a really easy way to kind of lead into who you are.
Like the healing work.
The healing work, yeah.
Okay. So I'm a deep seer, so I'm a visionary. And a psychic healer. I'm a deep seer and a psychic healer. I work with people and also buildings, like spaces and things like that. But essentially, if I'm working with people, like I invite people to come and sit with me, and we work with the breath and the chakras to go into a trance, and then we go on to into a journey to get away from like ordinary reality. And like, you know, this is it's a mental journey, but we go out of the universe as far as we can so that we can try to have some clear and uncluttered thoughts. And then in that space, I call the visions or the information. Like sometimes it's also like, you know, other sensory things. Like it might even be like, you know, a kind of touch thing or smell things. I even get like taste sometimes can be coming in for the information. Sometimes it's like little things like whispering in your ear. And with that, the deep viewing that I can do, like, you know, people might say like, I've got this thing going on in my life, and then I ask some questions around it, and then we can start to like unpick the problems and like reprogram difficult beliefs or like complicated thought loops, things that are not serving the person, and we can hopefully move them. Also pretty good at removing entities and implants, stuff that just get stuck in the energetic body. I mean, also emotional stuff, like you can get a lot of emotional debris that just sticks to us. So that can be things like shame, guilt, you know, anger, like they really affect our system and stuff. So like you can make those things move. Like a lot of the times, like energy is just waiting to be told where to go. So I'm quite good at telling energy where to go.
I love that.
And what to do.
What a brilliant skill.
To tell her to go. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And she is phenomenal at this, guys. I've had several sessions with you. And I feel really blessed and honored to have had it. Because this stuff, so to me, as much as I'm in this world, it's really difficult. I feel like I have to ask you a lot, like, what do you do? What do you do? How would you describe what you do? And every time I tell someone about Clara, I put different labels on it. I go, oh, she's a theater healer. She's a medium. She's a wit, like da 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 da.
I do the same. Actually, I haven't fully defined myself yet.
Well, this is it. It's hard. It is hard to define yourself in ordinary
and also in a world where there's so much disbelief. And like, you know, like when I was starting out doing the healing work, it's like, okay, like, you know, like, am I a charlatan? And like, you know, it's like, do I actually persuade people? It's like, no, I'm literally gonna read your mind and then change it.
And she literally,
which freaks people out as well. Actually, like, not a lot of people are hearing that. So,
well, it is like. If you're going to go and get these healings, don't think you're going to be able to hide any shit. Like, she will not let you hide anything from her, but definitely not from yourself.
And also, I don't pry. I will only see what you choose to show me and what your subconscious feels safe to release. Like, you know, there's some things which, like, you know, things move in their time, and like, you can't shift things that are not ready to move. Like,
I think that's,
you know, I find that so, like, college, if someone said, oh, I'm studying psychology, the first thing you would get back is, does that mean you could read my mind? And I was always a bit like, oh, I never did psychology, but I'd watch these interactions and be like, oh God, that's so cringe. But this genuinely feels like you've said all of this, and I do want to ask. So does that mean you can read my mind? What am I thinking right now?
Sometimes I've got like I have a lot of ESP, so like a lot of my design as a person is actually blocking things just so I can have some of my own peace of mind. So I put a lot of effort into just like shielding myself, and then it's like, you know, when we step into a healing session, then it's like, okay, right, this is where I'm actually going to be like going in and going focused and stuff. Because like, yeah, I mean, I get other people's thoughts all the time, and like I have some weird stuff, and I'm kind of like, what? Whose thought is that? Where did that come from? And it's not even about locale, like it can be people different parts in the world, and like, you know, they'll call me and then suddenly I'll be like, oh, da, 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 da. And I was like, no way, I was just thinking about that myself, and like it was their thought, not my thought type thing.
Deep seer, there
Wow.
you
And with them, the psychology, like I find that as it's a very important part of witchcraft, because like
go.
basically, like my understanding of magic, in its most general kind of thing is like, so when you've got a good understanding of the mind, the heart, the body, the earth, the stars, nature in general, and our relation to it, then you understand the laws of nature. And like, this is vast, you know, it's a very vast subject. We're literally talking about all of reality. And then when you understand the laws of nature, then you can like start to understand the higher laws of nature. And then that's where you can have effect. Like, that's where the magic comes in with the higher laws of nature.
Yeah, of course.
I would love to ask you, like, what is your understanding? Obviously, you were saying a little bit there, but like, if somebody was to come to you today and go, okay, I have, you know, I want a healing, but tell me what you do. Like, I'm really scared. I need to understand a little bit of like about the process in like a more layman's way. How would you describe it? Like, what would happen in the session? Like, what would you ask me to do? I don't want to say. I've had these sessions, but I don't want to say, I want you to say it so
It's
it's
different
clear.
every time, actually. So for my part as a healer, it's like I'm responsive to the person or the situation that I'm with. So every session is unique. Like, they're all really different. So I mean, what do I do? This is why I don't have a website yet. I don't know, I just do a thing. what do I do? It's a heart connection. I mean, so much of the job is actually creating a safe space and listening with a compassionate heart. Like, that already is so immensely healing, and it's something that's surprisingly lacking in this world. And like, especially with like, you know, the psycho spiritual stuff, like it's so woo woo, and like people are like, what on earth is going on? Like, you know, this is really weird. And then it just gives them somewhere to talk about the weird stuff. And it's like, you know, if you're sitting in the place of the healer, it's like, I'm looking to help and to help people with whatever that they need. And like, you know, it's like not a place of judgment, it's a place of like full compassion. So it's like, you can express whatever you want because it's all relevant. Like, when we enter into that psychic space, like the subconscious, you know, it speaks in mystery, but also somehow it's very clear. It can be much clearer than our very busy, busy mind. And when you can understand the mystery of the deep mind, then you can understand that language, and the story starts to be told, and then it can be unraveled and released or perked up. You know, like some things, like, you know, you need like extra energy, or like one friend, like her father was in hospital, and like it was a really bad hospital, like hospital that's actually caused problems for my family as well, then down in Cornwall. And like, she was really worried that he was still in hospital, and he was really suffering just with the energy of the hospital, because like there's so much energy in hospitals which is not taken care of, which means actually to send healing to them is really easy, because like it's just like they're so ready, like you can pump so much love and light into hospitals, because like there's more earnest prayer in hospitals than there is in church, and like people are calling for it there like so much. So like it's incredible like how much like you can a good effect you can have in hospitals. And yeah, like we did like a 15-minute session, because that was all we had time for. And then like she called him, no, sorry, he called her half an hour later, telling him that he'd really packed up, and then he was like eating again, and then he was discharged the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, you know, that kind of thing, like
We'll drop all Clara's details below, guys, so you can go and get
definitely.
your
Every
super
situation
healing.
is different.
Every situation is different, but I feel like with these things, you know, part of it is trust,
That's
in
a
the
lot of it is
sense of
trust.
like, but that's why I like to have good word of mouth. Like, I will only ever recommend someone that I've worked with and that I have felt safe and like it's been of benefit. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I just it's actually I'm so glad you're on here, because I feel like this is something that it's there are so many ways that we work. then we have whole systems that we don't understand in science. We have our energetic systems that we understand as electrical systems that, you know, create effect and are affected by things outside of our body. Now, Clara's working with that. And there's something, like you're saying, you know, there's so many levels to it, like the psychology aspect, the aspect where people actually just want to be witnessed and heard and their stuff taken seriously is a massive, massive healing. And that is also part of it. Like, that's a skill in itself to have. And I think something that you, like you're saying, is so missed. And we all need it. I feel like fucking 70% of people, if someone just really genuinely listens to them and didn't make them feel stupid about whatever it is they're going through, they would feel, it would cause
a massive
Ten times better.
So much of it is also perspective, actually, because like a lot of the time people, they'll present their story to me and then I was like, well, have you ever considered it from this view?
There you go.
And like, you know, that kind of thing. And I forgot to mention as well, like, I always work with altars as well, and like I'm burning herbs as well to support things. So like I have my herb allies and incenses and stuff to like help move energy.
Oh my gosh. And her herb, she's a proper medicine woman, guys. Like her herbs, we had a beautiful fire here in my new place, and my housemate, also landlord, came out in the night and was like, have you put something on the fire? What's that smell? And I was like, yeah, we're putting some incense stuff on the fire, clearing the energy. And he was like, oh my gosh, it's his birthday on Saturday. He's having a massive party here. And he was like, can you do that for my party? And I was like, you don't even know what you asked. This would be so good to be being done at your party.
So much so.
Like, it would literally keep shit clean. Like, and it just was like, it was so magic what she was creating. He was like drawn out of his house and he was like, I need to have this, even though I have no idea what you weirdos are doing. Like, it was great.
Witchcraft in my garden.
Witchcraft. But this is it. It's like, you can feel it.
Sorry, we shouldn't be looking at ourselves, should
it's,
we?
It's fine. No. It was a massive fucking raid.
I'm going to put the drop pin on them.
No.
That's why I'm not in charge of the
But yeah, so I've got some work to be doing tomorrow night. So I would love to ask you, my sweet, what this is a big story, actually, but I really want to have at least some pieces of it. What has driven you to do this work? Was there a moment, or has it been like a long journey?
Been a long journey.
Yeah.
It took a lot of growing into what I am, and to make it make sense, actually, like just to make it coherent, because I always felt like I had like this interest over here and that one there, and like none of it was cohesive. And then like it was probably when I was coming up to 30, around Saturn return, when you really pay attention to these things, and I kind of felt like everything was kind of like drawing in, like it's very wide base of knowledge that I have that was just coming into this thing. And myself, like, I mean, it still took a lot more growing past 30 as well, just to see that. I remember I went to one medicine ceremony and I was like, what am I? And then Grandfather Piyote was just like, you're a healer, you know this. And I was like, oh yeah. But then like it was a very simple conversation with you know, beautiful master plant, but it was like the most obvious I needed to be told, and he told me, and then I was like, okay. And then you've got to figure out the modality, and it's like I've studied a lot of things, like I've studied yoga, Thai massage, acupuncture, theta healing, and then all the witchcraft stuff, which I haven't ever really studied as like a particular course. It's just things that I've found out myself throughout my life, and like working with my own intuition, and also like receiving inspiration from other people, and that kind of thing. And like a lot of my healing abilities have come from my personal quest for my own healing. Because like, you know, when you're trying to put yourself together as a functioning human, and you find all these things which are out of alignment, or just like really clearly not working, or some parts just really fall off, you know, that kind of thing. And then just learning different techniques of like how to balance that. And a lot of it actually as well, something that I'm coming into awareness of more this year, has been learning, you know, now I'm getting the language for it. So like basically learning to like self-regulate. And then this year, like with a lot of the information that's been going out around ADHD and autism, and then it's like, I'm like, you know, I've been chatting with Nikki about it a lot. Like, I'm 100% sure I've got ADHD, and I thought, I didn't know about that one before, but I thought I've been on the autism spectrum for a while. Yeah. I haven't had that diagnosis, but it's like the non-neurotypical thing. So a lot of what I've learned has been to regulate these things which weren't held to me in my life before, and things that always made me feel like I was like really weird and things like that. And like,
you said you felt like you're a bit of a weirdo. Like, what does that mean for you, feeling like a bit of a weirdo?
Yeah, I never felt like I fitted in anywhere. I've always felt like a misfit, and like when I was younger, I traveled the world and I loved it because I just was different to everybody else. It wasn't that I was like might appear to be the same as them. It was like I was really obviously from a different place, and then that made me feel really comfortable because it was like, okay, I'm just different. You're not expecting me to be the same as you. That's really easy. And then like in England, like I just never really found like my, well, no, not never. But yeah, it took me a while to find people that were like me. But now I live in Misfit Town in Glastonbury. So, in my way of not fitting in, I fit right in that town with those fellow people that don't fit in. So, not that there's a harmony there. Don't expect that. There's a lot of misfits and there's some harmony, but not an entirety of it.
I think it's difficult to get full harmony with humans. I just
Especially
think,
with a collection of misfits
yeah, I just think
or with their
we,
different ideas.
exactly.
But I mean, actually, it is a relatively peaceful town. Yeah, there's not violent crime.
Well, there you go. And that's a big thing because
Not
it
much
isn't
violent
not
crime.
much violent crime, but like as well because it as like the people that in general live there are not people who are like super rich or anything. So there's like you were saying yesterday, there's a lot of
One of the most deprived areas in the country.
that's what she said.
Really?
So yeah, there's I find that quite interesting, actually, like with the energetics of England and like, this being the Sacred Heart of England in Glastonbury, and like it's very much owned by the aristocracy and the very rich, and then everybody's like renting, most of the high street's owned by about like three or four people. Don't quote me on that. I don't know the details. I don't follow those kind of things, but like a few people own everything and they get very rich on everyone else's hard work. But it's not the easiest place to work, actually, because it generally sends you on like such a big or deep inner journey. Like sometimes actually like taking care of the external stuff can be quite hard.
Right, you touched on that earlier, this idea of this heart space being either pure love and light or complete darkness. Like, what's it like working there as such a multifaceted medicine woman witch in Glastonbury in somewhere like that?
Pretty intense. Yeah, pretty intense. Like I find I say like we're front line on the ley line, and this is a ley line that extends past England. It's actually one like it's the biggest ley line in England, and then it extends beyond our shores. And just energetically, like that's such a massive ride, and like it can be, like I said, like it can bring like in your front row when like the heart starts pulsing with all this like bliss and love energy, like your front row, so you can get like woof, like fully charged. But then also like in the times when there's darkness and things to clear, like it's a lot of work and it can be really heavy. So yeah, depression can be a bit of a thing in Glastonbury.
I hear that. But I feel like in general, people who are, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but people who are closer to spirit or who are open in that way tend to suffer with things like that.
Well, it's because the world is really not designed to support the human spirit these days.
100%.
And
Once
as
you
you're
start,
sensitive, then like, that's really excruciating.
exactly. Or you just think about shit for a day and you're like, oh my God, this is a lie. They're being gaslighted by every single government. Anyway. So I really had a feeling of that the other day. I was like, oh my God, nothing they tell us is true. And I spend my life like trying to like normalize stuff. So I'm like, okay, I know that there is weird shit happening, but I'm going to try and act like I agree with what's in the newspaper a little bit just so I can get on.
Risky.
And I know it is risky. I've lost my ability to do it. It's really challenging. It's like the biggest acting role I've
I stopped
ever had.
believing when Grenfell came down.
Yeah.
It's quite, I don't know, serendipitous, interesting that green is in the name and the symbology around that after it's come down has been a green heart. Once again, pointing back to the heart chakra, it was my first moment of like, they're lying to us. They're out and out lying to us. And I don't think I've ever come back from that mindset since then. I've just not trusted anything that's gone on since. Even the numbers they tell us of the people that passed in Grenfell, I don't believe those numbers. I think it's severely underreported. But that's my personal opinion, and everyone has one, like a sphincter. So whatever.
I think it's so relevant though. Like a friend of mine, like these years, like where it's just more and more out there and like more and more obvious how what they're doing is not designed for our benefit at all, and it's just really benefiting the few. And like a friend of mine from Israel, She put it like the devil dances in the daylight, and it's like it's there for all to see, and like I think it's quite good. I think a lot of people, like more than ever, are like knowing that like
Things
we
aren't
cannot
right.
trust. We cannot trust.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I feel like I really started to notice this that in lockdown, and then like the way that people are talking afterwards, like I have a very eclectic network of people that I know, and they're all at different stages of life. They will have different, different financial situations, living situations, and pretty much everyone is now saying the same thing. Like people who I never would have thought about. Everyone's going on about we need to have our own space. We need to be able. I want to be able to live in a way where it's just for me and my family and my lovely community and my friends and stuff. And I want to be able to live how I want to live, and I want to have the space, and I want to have green, and I want to have. It's like a completely different kind of thing
mindset
happening,
shift, yeah.
but when you go online and you were to look at any of our standard newspapers or anything like that across the world, like the rhetoric that's in those is different, and it makes sometimes it can make me feel like I'm properly just on my own, like a weirdo sitting here thinking about aliens and like AI. The reality is everyone's thinking about that. Are you not?
In between paying the bills.
In between
But
paying
no,
the bills.
I do have a question for Clara, because you mentioned lockdown and you were presumably in Glastonbury for some of that lockdown. What was that like being there? I mean, if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. I know that's quite a global trauma for everyone, but what was it like being in Glastonbury at that point in
It's
time?
all right, actually. Yeah, I think we actually had a really easy ride through it. The police around Glastonbury, like they know their town. They know if they push too hard, they're gonna get like rebellions. And there wasn't anything too extreme. There were hugging parties going on. I didn't partake in them because I'm
Hugging
not a virus
party.
person, so I was like taking that care. But yeah, like a lot of people were like, we're not getting on board with this because it's Rebel Town as well as Misfit Town. Like Rebel Town is actually a much more commonly used name for it. So they didn't push too hard, and then like, we could still go out. Like I live in a flat, so I didn't have a garden, so I would be going out on the land to get sunshine. And like actually it was like amazingly blissful, because normally it's like that time of year, especially if it's sunny, the town gets really busy. But then like all the pilgrims, everyone was at home, so the town was super quiet. And then I would just go out on the land, and like it was so sunny, so I would just like lie down on the ground and like nap for like 2 hours and listen to the birds and everything. And like the birds got so loud because everything else was quiet, and it was like it felt like stepping back in time. Like, I felt like it was my childhood, like the level of noise, because like now we're used to there being like cars and chainsaws and whatever engine and whichever industry is going on, like creating whatever noise, and then all that stopped. And then the birds just celebrated so much, and like they were blowing my mind on a daily basis. So we had a pretty easy ride through lockdown, apart from like all the insanity and mental instability that was going on in that time. It was pretty chill, actually.
And you were
Yeah,
able
it
to get to
was.
that those fresh springs to get fresh water. So while everyone was like elbowing each other in the face in the supermarkets for
To
fresh
get the
water and
bottles,
toilet
yeah.
paper, you were like free water.
Yeah, I'm just
Gosh.
gonna go stroll in the countryside and get some water. Like the chapel at the top of Glastonbury Tor, it's St Michael's Chapel. And then during lockdown, people were calling it St Michael's Arms because you could climb the hill, and that's where you could socialize because the police weren't gonna
They're
climb
really
that hill to
gonna
sort
help
you
you
out. I love that. Okay, if there's another lockdown, we need to head to Glastonbury. Like that's where to do it. All right, and then you just mentioned the White Spring again. Let's talk about the White Spring. So you had a really beautiful experience there, didn't you, love?
I did. Oh my God. Oh, I think about this place daily. It was transformational. Do you know what? This has been a really transformational year. And in part, that was one of the sort of baptisms that I experienced. So St. Bridget's Temple is attached to, or White Spring flows into it. And it's this very beautiful old building. Do you know what it used to be, Clara?
I think it's built, I think it's a Victorian one, and it was built as a bathhouse, and then it's been, depending on various owners and what's been going on, like different things have happened there. Like I think so originally it would have been a bathhouse for enjoying the waters. And then I've heard it did have a cafe in it not that long ago.
Yeah, which is
But now it's a
mad.
temple, and like there's Bridget, there's a Black Madonna, Cernunnos, the Horned God, and they've also got a solar masculine altar for, I can't say this properly, Lugasnad. Luke.
Oh, Luke.
Yeah.
Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call Luke. Yes.
I looked that up the other day. Lunasa.
Lugnasa.
Lunasa. Yeah.
Lugnasa. Because it's from the
Lunasa.
god.
And when you
Yeah.
go on Google, it takes a G out, babe. He
Yeah,
goes,
it says
Lunasa.
Lunasa. Yeah, but
Lunasa.
it's for the god called
Yeah,
Luke. So surely it's
it's
Lugnasa.
Luke, I
Just
know.
call him Luke.
Just
Yeah.
Louis, if you're friends with
Which
him.
is
It's
a
a stunning
Lamas.
altar.
Lamas is the
It's one of
easier
my favourite
alternate.
altars in there at the moment. And if you're in there when like the Guardians, if there's I find there's one or two particular ones of the male Guardians that really activate that altar in a really good way. Because I've been in there and like it's always beautiful in there. And different Guardians are obviously they've just got different energetic connections to different altars. And you know, sometimes the Bridie and the Black Madonna are like, wow, like pulsing with the energies. And sometimes Canonus is holding all the power. And then when they the solar altar for the solar masculine has been a much more recent addition, but like there's one guy in there who's always got it, so it's like, and like you go in and like really feel like a really positive masculine charge like coming in from the altar. Yes, the solar masculine, like it's beautiful.
I did love the altars in there. So you go in this beautiful temple and there are multiple altars, and there's what I can only imagine a remnants of those baths still in there with the white spring pouring in. And they are absolutely like, this is the coldest water. And if you've been listening to this, you know I love getting in any body of water. This is the coldest water, guys. The coldest I've ever experienced in my life. I've not been to Iceland yet, so I'm probably yet to experience the coldest, but this was so cold. And I didn't have a swimming suit or anything. I'm like, no, I'm going in. So, just got down to underwear and hoisted my clothes on these poor two and jumped in. And I was in there like, oh my God, this is so cold, almost like frozen. And then this just beauty of a woman just comes up to me and goes, control your breathing and go under. It's like, what? She's like, control your breathing and go under the water 3 times. So I did. I controlled my breathing to the point where I wasn't like frozen and then dunked my whole head under 3 different times. And when I came out, I had felt like I had been like completely baptized by Saint Bridget. It was just beautiful. I stayed there for a little bit, got into another pool, and then got out. But I would recommend it to anyone. It felt just like the most cleansing experience, soul cleansing. I mean, forget the water. It felt like I'd just been bathed into a tunnel of light. It was really, really beautiful. And we don't have any pictures because they don't allow pictures in there, but that's probably a good thing because people will just completely strip down naked and get in. And it's lovely that people are able to have that privacy to do that.
100%. And I do find just obviously we're trying to get all pictures of this stuff now, but I do have a personal challenge with that because I feel like, you know, when spirit's doing its work, you need to let spirit do its work. Don't put your nose in on that. But it was amazing seeing you get out of that pool,
It
Jay.
was
It
really
was,
moving.
wasn't it? Me and Clara were just there, like, because I was, for me, jumping in the spring was a massive initiation in Glastonbury, like, and it was really important. I did it for healing and it was hard because it's cold.
10 degrees.
And but I also went in on my birthday. My birthday is December, so let's just
Oh
consider that.
man.
Yeah, it was bad. It
Oh.
was, but I was determined. I was like, I need to heal. Let me like jump in. But it was one of those things where I really was like, we have to at least paddle our toes, or you have to at least paddle your toes. I just really wanted you to be able to have that experience of the spring because I don't know, for me it's just such a big part of experiencing the magic of that space. And also just being able to do that, to go to a temple, like a beautiful nature temple, and jump into an actual spring that's flowing down there. There's nothing, it's like you need to take that experience. If you can get that experience,
Was
and
the
to
best
see,
religious
yeah.
experience I've had in my I wish they had that opportunity in London to do that because I've never been a churchgoer, but that would be my Friday worship. That's what I'd do every
Yeah.
Friday. That would be what I would do.
You could jump on a coach to Glastonbury every month, once a month for a Friday sesh.
But there are springs in London, and like some of them are, they do have baths. I don't know if you're actually allowed to get in them, but
yeah, I don't know.
There's a Facebook page about like Sacred Springs of England or something, and like I see posts regularly about some in London.
I'm actually on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do some research. We can find some. Let's go and find the Sacred Springs of London and see if we want to get in them with the nappies.
Hopefully, it's good.
But so it was amazing for us, like to witness you. And I was very much like, oh, I need to get in, but I don't really want to get in. I'm just feeling a bit cold. Like, that's not, I've done it. But to witness you and to actually not be in it with you, like to just be able to allow you to have your experience was insane. And something happened, like you got in there. I was like, okay, we know Jade loves to get her tits out. We know that you love to jump into water. Okay, I accept this about you and I love it about you. But I was surprised. Because all of a sudden it was like, no, okay, so everything's coming off. And I was just there with this pile of like jewelry and clothes. And then like love is running to the pool. And I saw you get in and you go, fuck, this is cold. This is cold. Oh my gosh. And then you're right, this beautiful attendant coming up to you and just giving you that guidance. And then all of a sudden you changed and you were just like, we were like, what is she doing? And you just became something else. Like you went under and you came up and you were just like, goodessified. It was insane, like the change. And and then when you, it just was like the rest of the day with you was like, I can't speak, was like a joy. It's always a joy. But it was the most amazing thing, like just walking up the tour with you and like Love's there with like, you know, her underwear on and like a shawl wrapped or a cardigan or something just kind of wrapped around you, like proper just in the vibe. It's like, I've just jumped in the spring. I don't give a fuck. I'm walking up the tour. I'm drying out in the glorious feeling of spirit.
I did take you to a sunny field to try out.
We did, no, you did, you really looked after us. Yeah,
and we really did go to a sunny field.
But your energy just changed in the most beautiful. It was just like, for me, I feel like that the best experience I could have had was witnessing you do that.
The thing that I found really touching as well is like how when you were in there and you were just like, I just want to cry. And I was like, oh, let it, like, let the water run. And like just watching like your meeting with the water and like witnessing your relationship with the water was just like, it's getting me going now.
Oh, this is it. We've got two water systems here. You're both all about the water.
I love water. It's just, it's the most beautiful, place to be. Like, any body of water, as long as I'm told, yeah, it's clean, I'm jumping in. I don't care. I'm doing it. And that was just like, it was so magical. Can't thank Clara enough for showing us these places and like, taking us to dry off and then going to see those the orchard. Yeah, that was really beautiful. You were telling us stories about that. I remember that too.
I find it like, it's just a beautiful place to go and be with the fairies, like apple trees in general, like they're very magic. Like I think Avalon has a relation to the word apple, like maybe it means the same. So like it's the England is the island of apples. And like if you know, you cut an apple in the between the core and the top, the stem and the top that way, and then it's got that pentagram inside of it. And like for me, it's just like there's just so much magic in the apples. And then it's just a beautiful fairy place. Like I feel like there's a really good healthy population of otherworldly spirits that live there.
It's so beautiful to have that, because like sometimes the tour has been overwhelming for me before, like because once you've done your pilgrimage up there, there's usually loads of people, and
because there's the pilgrims and then there's the tourists, it's a bit different.
So there's all this different energy. You know, some people are there just to take pictures, some people are there like banging their drum and trying to call in spirits. So it's just like there's this whole range of potential once you actually reach the top.
It was one amazing thing. Like, so before Glastonbury Festival, there were some people from Mexico, like tribal people from Mexico. I don't think it was the Mexica, but like a similar style of like regalia that they wear. I didn't meet them personally, but I saw a few lot of photos. Yeah. They went up there to do a ceremony at the same time. Some druids were up there doing a ceremony.
What?
And then they
chills.
Yeah, totally. And like, I heard about it from so many different directions. And like, you know, there's the druids in their white robes, and then all the Mexicans with like their big feathers and their big color and their like breastplates and everything. And it's like, oh my god, this is incredible.
Yeah.
These are the things that make you think I should live in Glastonbury, because then at least I'll be able
all
to experience
the world
that stuff.
Glastonbury.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, but it is so nice to then have these other kind of sections around the tour, like you say, even like the Dragonstone. And the apple orchard, and then just other little places where you can go for like to connect, but also it's really quiet and peaceful and nice. And it really smells of apples. I love the smell of fresh apples on trees. I would love to ask you, Clara. So if somebody wanted to work with you, how would the best way be for them to get in touch with you?
Well, very simply, just WhatsApp is a pretty good one.
We're not going to put your phone number on here. So do you have an Instagram?
Yeah. Oh, I do. Oh, yes. I'm getting there with the whole networking thing. I do. I'm the magic and the mystery on Instagram. I put my artwork out on Instagram now and then. Not very often, but it's a nice landing page, and then people can get in touch with me there.
So, yes. Oh my gosh, you have to. I'm gonna put it here in the video, her Instagram, and you need to check it out because you make the most beautiful altars.
The altars are
absolutely stunning, all with herbs. Yeah. And then yesterday we were able, like, Clara proper blessed me because she was my fire woman. She built a beautiful fire for us. And then she had all of these. Where were they from? What altar were they from? The herbs that you had.
The Chicana.
Chicana, which was in.
I did it for Samhain, and for Samhain. So I opened that portal, and then it stayed until the winter solstice portal as well.
So yeah. Then we had the fire, and we were literally putting all of the herbs from the altar. So the altars are made. I might actually just put a picture up here in the video because they're made out of all these different herbs. So you're making these beautiful mandalas and beautiful.
They're loose.
Loose dry herbs. So you're just obviously scraping them off into a bag once the aura is done. Mm-hmm. And we got to burn it all on the fire yesterday. And that's obviously what called Jack over. but so stunning, so beautiful. And actually, this is one of the things I really love about you, is you properly work with the herbs, like properly work with the mm-hmm. herbs. And it's always so matte, like the blends that you bring are always just like,
yeah,
beautiful, magic, amazing. So I'm going to list all that. If you would like to have a healing with Clara, get in touch with us or DM her on her Instagram. And seriously, then just be ready, be open, because it is such an incredible experience. Maybe I should have spoken a little bit about what my experiences were with you. Clara is like a really close friend of, like, an old friend of mine. Like, we've traversed the many worlds together many times, and that breeds a special kind of friendship. So you know me very deeply, but then there is another level that I experienced when doing the work with you, because we were on the phone. It was during lockdown. I'm pretty sure it was in mm-hmm. lockdown. I needed help. Yeah. So we're just on the phone and I'm lying down going on this journey, and you bring me into the journey. And I find this really super interesting, because even as an advanced journeyer, I still sometimes struggle with the belief in journey. I'm just like, wow, can you know, is this really a real thing? Oh yeah, it's a real thing. I'm doing it now. Yeah. So it was like that when we journeyed. And what's really beautiful is that we journeyed together. So sometimes when you're doing these different kind of healing modalities, you will be doing the journey for yourself, and that's kind of how I teach. But then there are also sometimes people will journey for you. So sometimes mm-hmm. I may journey for you if we want to go and look for a power animal, or we want to go and look for a piece of soul to retrieve. I can do the journey for you. What doesn't happen super regularly is that in a session with a healer, they are journeying alongside, in the way that I experience journeying alongside. And I don't know how much of it was us, our connection, mm-hmm. my experience mm-hmm. or whatever, but we were just sailing together, but we were also on the telephone. This is what makes it mad. Wow. Right? It's one thing to like go
this distance healing thing, like down to a T.
It works yeah. really well yeah. over the phone, because it's a meeting of minds.
Yeah.
Mostly. And then, you know, we're not staying in this reality. And you know, like right. you know, you can open your eyes during it and you'll look around and you'll still see the same room. It's exactly. not like, you know, you're yeah. probably taking off or yeah. anything.
But it makes
minds go somewhere.
What I need to say about it is that it starts to just make complete and utter sense, and there's no explaining it. When you're navigating non-ordinary reality, or like trying to like rebuild your brain, things probably don't happen in like a super understandable way.
No, the brain is not full of a lot of straight lines.
No, exactly. It's like, but it made sense, and it flowed, and everything that happened in our session. Like, there was one moment where you were like, there are hooks in you in a certain place. And when you said that, it was like, I couldn't see what it was. I can feel certain things, but I couldn't see what it was that was going on with me. And when you said, you literally brought the imagery to me, and I was like, oh, and it just like, everything kind of dropped in place. I was like, yes, and that makes sense. That's why it's there. That's why it's in that way. Like now we have to, instead of, we can't just move that, we need to unhook it. It sounds so dumb, but like these are the, you know,
It
and
really,
it
do you know
was.
what? This doesn't sound dumb to me, and I hope it doesn't sound dumb to you, listener. These things, you know, that they've been moved into modern techniques in like hypnotherapy, and you know, these are things that were once in the realm of pure magic and esotericism are now frequently being moved into the realm of like there's hypnobirthing in the NHS. These things have always stood the test of time. It's just it takes hundreds of years before the establishment says, oh yeah, this is a real thing.
Well, I mean, they used to understand it was a real thing. It's fairly recent that it's been saying that it's not, isn't it?
Not
Like
a real thing.
fairly recent, you know, still
Fairly.
hundreds of
The
years, but.
last, I feel like the last 120 years has really fucked us up, if I'm honest. I feel like
Oh
that's
yeah.
where the majority of the lies came. I don't know, though,
The
maybe I'm full
Industrial
of shit. It was
Revolution.
the
I mean,
Industrial
that's what
Revolution.
tore us off the land
Yeah.
and took away our roots. So yeah.
So I'm right. There we
Yeah.
go. Those
Yeah.
feelings are true.
These also have all of the witch trials in the 1600s, which came alongside the slave trade, and you know, it was just an easy way to kick off people who were, you know, living in a way that they weren't happy with anymore. So,
Well, people that demonstrated power, other
yeah.
than things they wanted us to know, it's like, you know, there's been a
Right.
very conscious way of like reducing humans to like, you know, basic animals, and actually
Yeah.
like we're really actually extraordinary godlike creatures, you know, like
100%.
in our fullest extent, which takes a lot to get to. Like, you know, I'm really grateful I'm not quite yet a full god, because the amount of trash that passes through my head, if I was manifesting that, it would be terrifying. So it's great that I don't actually have full god manifesting power, because it would be, there's always a positive angle. There's always a positive
There's
angle.
always, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, I love it. All right. So we have actually probably, I feel like this is a good place, Jay.
Yeah,
Oh,
I
for
feel like
fuck's,
this.
I'm cut. I feel like this is a good place, love.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want you to keep this in because, listen, guys, this is a process. People are
It is,
gonna,
yeah.
you know, anyone who's known me as Jay, it's gonna take some time, but it's a journey, right? It's a journey. I have a best friend who changed her name like 15 years ago, and it's only really in the last third of that I started religiously using her name, which is wrong of me, but
Do you know
we
what?
try, we
If you
try.
go, for our text message conversations from the
yeah
beginning of our friendship, I can guarantee you I've called you love more than I've called you Jay.
yeah
yeah
Like
yeah
almost 100%.
Love, how's it going?
Yeah. So like it's, for me, I'm like, this should not be a difficult transition, because it makes sense. So sometimes people change it. You know, sometimes how I feel about name changes. Like sometimes I find them incredibly difficult to accept. I really do. I really
In
do.
Glastonbury, people quite often change their names fairly regularly.
Yeah.
It's one of the things people go through as
And
well.
I have actually got a bunch of friends that I don't know what to call them. Like, I don't know what their name is now.
Yeah.
Whereas, but what's happened with you, I witnessed like a proper truth. Like the way that you've brought this message, what you did, like your commitment, your changes, what you're going through this year, like then going on that pilgrimage, like committing to that in the way that you committed to, you received so much. I cannot, in any, I have no fucking place to stand to create any judgment on that, because everything that came out of your mouth was so, it's just so real. When you told me the story of receiving your new name, it was like, whoa, well, I have, there's no, I have to,
Yeah,
that's what
I
you
can
are.
assure you
That's who
guys, I
you are.
haven't done like one yoga class and given myself a highly
Yeah, she
appropriative
hasn't, yeah, she hasn't done that, done a 30-hour yoga teacher training and come out as Shakti. So
like
we're all good.
Lakshmi Shakti, because
Lakshmi
you won the money
Shakti.
from it as
Yeah, that's
well,
true. It
you know,
is true.
let's
Yeah.
appropriate it properly.
Well, now is a good a place as any. As you can see, we're all getting a bit loopy. And we should probably enjoy what left of this summer is having to offer, whatever that is. Thank you,
Transformation.
thank you.
Is that what's
Thank
happening? I thought it was just frizzy hair.
What did you say
Ah,
was
well,
happening?
it's part of it. Yeah.
She said transformation. This summer is transformation. I said this tra summer is frizzy hair.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna probably ask you more about that transformation off camera. So, sorry guys, but thank you for being here. Well, thank you for being here with the Afro Animist podcast. We've had the wonderful Clara here, and all of her details are in the bottom. The wonderful Nick.
Me, yes. And like, thank you for tuning in, guys. We've got lots and lots of information about this that I think we'll be feeding out. So yes, get in touch with us, get in touch with Clara if you'd like to find out more about what she does. And we will catch you all next week.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
Thank you, thank you, beautiful being of the multiverse, for joining us on the Afro-Animist podcast.
If you want to get stuck into the conversation or have a question about anything we speak about here, join our mailing list and find us on our socials.
On TikTok and Instagram, find us at the Afro-Animist podcast.
On Twitter, you can find us at Afro-Animist. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, you can also find this talk on YouTube. Just search for us and we will pop up as if by magic.
If you're loving what we're talking about here, share, like, and subscribe. And remember to leave us a thumbs up or 5-star rating on your favourite platform.